Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 67. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using dexmedetomidine for agitated delirium when haloperidol doesn't work, answer the drug information question, should I use a loading dose when initiating a dexmedetomidine infusion, and share a resource I created for calculating the time to wait after the last dose of a non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulant before a low or high-risk surgical procedure. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode67. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating using real-time messaging. I invite you to join me and the 200 other pharmacists there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. The article for this show is titled Dexmedetomidine for the Treatment of Hyperactive Delirium Refractory to Haloperidol in Non-Intubated ICU Patients, a Non-Randomized Controlled Trial. The lead author is Janice Carrasco, and this was published online February 2016 in the journal Critical Care Medicine. Agitated delirium in the ICU setting complicates the management of critically ill patients. This study was a non-randomized controlled trial in a 13-bed medical surgical ICU setting in Spain. 132 consecutive ICU patients with a diagnosis of agitated delirium were included. Numerous exclusion criteria were applied, including history of substance abuse, Parkinson's disease, bradycardia, and QTC interval prolongation at baseline. Despite the exclusion criteria, only 18 of 154 patients evaluated were excluded for these reasons. This is a very low number and speaks well to the generalizability of the results. Haloperidol was titrated as follows. All patients received IV haloperidol bolus doses of 2.5 to 5 milligrams at intervals of 10 to 30 minutes until control of agitation, as evidenced by a Richmond Agitation and Sedation Scale score of 0 to minus 2, or until reaching the maximum cumulative daily dose of 30 milligrams. The patients were then split into responder and non-responder groups. Patients in the responder group were given a haloperidol infusion of 0.5 to 1 milligrams per hour to maintain a RASS score of 0. Patients in the non-responder group were given a dexmedetomidine infusion starting at 0.2 mics per kilo per hour, titrated to a maximum of 0.7 mics per kilo per hour to maintain a RASS of 0. 86 patients responded to haloperidol titration and were given the haloperidol infusion. 46 patients were non-responders and were given a dexmedetomidine infusion. Patients in the dexmedetomidine group had a satisfactory sedation level 92% of the time, compared to 59% of the time for the haloperidol group. This difference was statistically significant. Although two patients in the haloperidol group had QTC lengthening above 440 milliseconds, the difference between groups did not reach statistical significance. The only adverse effect that was statistically significant between groups was oversedation, which occurred only in the haloperidol group in 10 patients and required non-invasive mechanical ventilation in 8 patients. The authors concluded that dexmedetomidine shows to be useful as a rescue drug for treating agitation due to delirium in non-intubated patients in whom haloperidol has failed, and it seems to have a better effectiveness, safety, and cost-benefit profile than does haloperidol. At my institution, most patients with agitated delirium are managed with atypical antipsychotics. Dexmedetomidine is used occasionally, but I can't remember ever using a continuous infusion of haloperidol. I'd love to know your experiences with treating agitated delirium. Send me an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com if you've done something different than what I've discussed here. The drug information question for this episode is, should I use a loading dose when initiating a dexmedetomidine infusion? My answer to that is no. In the trial I discussed previously, a loading dose was not used. And the risk of bradycardia from dexmedetomidine may be significantly higher when a loading dose is used. The risk is almost never worth the few minutes of faster sedation that a loading dose provides. Because of this, I do not use a loading dose when initiating a dexmedetomidine infusion. And the resource I'd like to share in this episode is a reference for calculating the time to wait after the last dose of a non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulant before a low or high-risk surgical procedure. In the past, I've used a reference by iPro for this, and I've linked it up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode67. And this reference has a nice chart in it that helps you decide how long to wait for a surgical procedure after stopping apixaban, dabigatran, or rivaroxaban. And the iPro authors suggest waiting 2 to 3 medication half-lives for low bleeding risk procedures and 4 to 5 half-lives for high bleeding risk procedures. The trouble is the reference has some inaccuracies when it comes to calculating the half-lives. So I've created my own version in the form of an interactive calculator. The calculator takes into account a patient's age and renal function and displays the length of time needed to wait for 2, 3, 4, or 5 half-lives for each anticoagulant. You can find the calculator at pharmacyjoe.com/NOAC for NOAC. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.